लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to Let's Talk About Verticals. Today we are going back behind the cameras and we go a little bit to Europe and a little bit to LA and a little bit also into acting, because I have a guest who's an all-rounder, and I say hi to Danny Farber. Welcome.
Hello, Michaela Bergman. Thanks so much for having me.
What do you call my second name? It's always funny to me how English speaking people pronounce my name, you know?
It must be Bergman.
No.
Oh no.
And even the first name was also wrong.
Michaela Bergman is not right?
No. Michaela Bergman.
Oh my god, right. Michaela Bergman. I'm so sorry.
No, not Berg. Berg.
Berg.
The German one said Berg.
Take two. And
action.
Hello, Michaela Bergman. So nice to meet you and have and be on your
show. I'm fine with that. No problem.
Whatever, man, I'm happy to be here. You know, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm happy you're back, because when you were in Istanbul, you were really busy.
Yeah.
So it was hard to catch you there. Maybe I should have flown over to Istanbul. It's not far.
Pretty close.
Think it's 2 hours flight from here, because I'm in the south of Germany.
Okay.
So I think, let me check. I will check. But I think it's not far to Istanbul. And I've never been in Istanbul.
I know it's a 1 hour time zone difference. That much I do know. But
I think they're 1 hour before Germany, aren't they?
Certainly this will all hit the cutting room floor. I don't think anybody's interested in listening to this pod is as specifically interested in the difference between Germany and Istanbul. But if this does make it on air, I'm so sorry. And I do hope that you are still interested in learning about verticals.
We'll see. How many verticals did you do in Istanbul?
In total, I've done 5. I just did 3 on this last trip out there, back to back to back. And that third one was like definitely an undertaking of a lifetime kind of thing.
Please tell me that you did 3 verticals with kind of new stories in Istanbul.
What do we do? What do we do? The 3 that I just did, I have one very fun, a little bit more gritty YA romance, the nerd gets the bad boy kind of vibe with Tess Dinnerstein and Ben Armstrong. That was really, really great. I did a lovers to enemies, back to lovers. There's a billionaire element to it, but it's very subtle. But it's old high school sweethearts try to move on, and as she gets remarried, she finds she's still married to him, and so then that's a really fun rom-com. That's with,
but it sounds like a new story, not the kind of the.
It's good, and I'm the hook at the beginning of that series is so fun.
Who are the leads in it? Can you tell this already or not?
Yeah, that's Ashley Michelle Grant with Casey Esser.
Oh, nice.
That's going to be great. That's for Drama Pops. The first one also for Drama Pops.
Do you know when they will drop?
So this fall, hopefully. You know, that's where that we're, you know,
but,
we're in post.
But in Turkey, it's nearly mostly produced for Drama Pops, isn't it?
So then my third one is Good Shorts' first ever Turkish.
Okay.
And the whole reason that even came about was because I have a long-standing non-exclusive deal with Good Short. in the way that my schedule had lined up, I was doing my Istanbul projects, and then I had to fulfill a requirement that I have with GoodShort. So
Yes.
they asked, do you want to just do your September project in Istanbul? We're looking to expand in that market and kind of see what it's like over there. Anyways, you're already there. You already kind of know the layout and the landscape a little bit. And so I said, sure. And we did the third one is a banquet drama.
Oh no, not a banquet.
It was good. It was a lot. It was a lot. It was, yeah.
Is it 1 hour banquet drama? All
There
banquet,
are,
banquet, you know what I mean?
right, all set in real time kind of thing. There, no, it moves through a couple different locations. There's about three banquet scenes.
Okay, then it's fine, but it's not the whole story in
The
this
whole story is
banquet
not just in the
where the
one.
people have to stand 1 hour straight at one
No,
point.
no,
Okay,
it
good.
is. It's. I try to do my best to like do justice on making it interesting. The opening on that one too is this really big, complicated rain scene, and it's really dramatic and incredibly cinematic. And I'm excited to see that one cut together. So
How many
we have
leads
really.
got pregnant with twins, quadruplets, or stuff like
Yeah,
that?
you're just gonna have to wait to see, you know.
You know, the thing is, I did yesterday, I can tell you, it dropped today, a review episode with the six big ladies of reviews
Oh,
from
nice.
Instagram. Yeah. And we also discussed the good ones and the bad ones. And there were in total 15 shows where the viewers, so one of us seven, fell asleep or turned it off because of too much violence or shitty story. So
Sure. Yeah.
we are always looking for good shows to
Yeah.
review.
Well, and hey, we're always looking for good shows to make, and it is the frustration on the audience side of things is felt on the creative side of things as well. But you know, I think at the end of the day, everybody's looking for something that will be exciting, something that will be successful, something that will capture people's attention. And oftentimes too, as I'm in pre-production and I'm going through the script and I'm working with the writers and the company and the cast and the producers, you know, the things that we're doing is like, okay, what is an audience going to respond well to? What works for this world? What does this story need or not need? And oftentimes what you guys are seeing is still, even still after all of these conversations. So you gotta recognize, you know, sometimes it's like, where did the thing start? And it took so many meetings just to get it to here. We all want it to be here, but it's still just to even push it a little bit more.
Yeah,
But
I
I
think
guess
it's a process.
it's a process. I think a lot of it too is like metric measured. So the data analytics are like, hey, we know that this will be, you know, but then it's like, I don't know that's always true or makes the most sense. So at the end of the day, I'm just making the movies and they're telling me what to make.
Did you get you were at Verticon? So, how was it to talk to the fans directly there, to get their reviews directly face to face, open, honest, I think, and
Yeah, it
stuff?
was awesome. I mean, I feel like I didn't meet, you know, a ton of criticism, which was always kind of like a thing that we worry about when we're making these some of the more like graphic projects as well. But Verticon was great. Donnell, everybody that ran that convention put their all into it, and I'm excited to see like what next year is going to bring and how that will even amplify and kind of go, you know, further in the right direction. But it was great to meet the fans and to chit chat and talk verticals and see some of my vertical friends that I only get to see when I'm working. And it was a much more calm environment to see everybody, which is always a bummer, you know.
You know, for me it was shitty. I cannot go there because I roundabout would have needed 5,000 euros to go there. Flight, hotel,
Jesus.
entrance, fee, everything stuff.
That's a lot.
So for the European market and also the a lot of Asian fans and India and wherever, it's impossible to go to Verticon. So we all were sitting in front of our laptops and watching everyone's stories.
And
Sure.
yeah. Yeah.
Maybe next year in Istanbul.
Yeah, but I think that would be different with all the visas or not for the US ones.
That's a way above my pay grade.
I think it's so, you know, if I would win the lottery, we have in Europe, there is a European jackpot with round about 100 million euros in it. If
Whoa.
I would win this, I will fly all over. Because I
Yeah.
talked to a lot of actors who said, oh, I want so badly shoot in Europe. For example, I talked to Kirby Elwood a few
Love.
days
I'm texting
ago.
Kirby this morning. That's so funny you say that.
And she said, everyone wants to Turkey this summer except me. I don't know why they don't want to have me there.
They do. Everybody loves Kirby. Kirby was wanted
She
at
was
Cincinnati.
really disappointed that she was
Well,
not
she also like spent
invited.
all her time in Canada, which is great. And I love working in Vancouver and having those Vancouver teams. But you know, it's to say like open your schedule up so you're not just committed to Canada and America. You
Yeah,
just expand
because
Europe.
we had a really great idea for a vertical series in Europe.
Oh, okay.
We
What is
will
it?
do a criminal vertical series in
Okay.
five countries in Europe: Istanbul, Germany, Lithuania, England, Italy, and in every the leads are always the same one. We want to have Robert Palmer Watkins, and Kirby demanded the male lead for her. And so they are detectives, and in every country they have to do a new criminal
They got
series.
that's cool. So they're the criminals, or they're
No,
the
they detectives. They like Miss
can I
Marple
flip
and
it on the
Sherlock Holmes, you know, so stuff like
Sure.
that.
Well, could it be cool too that maybe they are the criminals and they're on the run, and
Who
so each new
knows?
country
Who
they have
knows?
to it's a new identity. It's the same people, but they need to take on these new identities, and they
Oh,
got to
that's
do
great. I have to pitch that to Kirby.
that. That's cool.
No, because in every country, a different cast except of the leads. So you can bring a lot
Right,
of
exactly. Well, that's the you take it as this fish out of water story with your two same leads,
Yes.
but now it's almost like the Bourne Identity, where like they have to assume a new identity in each place. That would be cool. That's rad. That'd be a lot of fun.
And we have to do it in Europe so that Kirby can over to can
And
come
then she
over
gets
to
Kirby.
Europe.
Exactly.
And I pitched the idea to Robert Palmer Watkins, and
Sure.
he wrote me back. All I read was Europe, I'm in.
I'm in. Well, I took Rob
Yes.
to Istanbul back in
Yeah,
January.
I saw
So,
this. I saw this
yeah.
one with Rob
And we
in
can't talk about Rob and Kirby together without mentioning their manager is my best friend since I was 2 years
Yeah,
old.
and they both have the same manager. That was the thing that Kirby told me.
No, not only do they have the same manager, their manager has been my best friend since I was in preschool.
That's a
That's what I'm saying.
sign. Danny,
They
that's a
are.
sign.
No, well, it's all it's the things people don't know. It's great. It's really, really wonderful. Like
So
Ethan is
you will do this
fantastic.
one. Okay, you will do the part in Istanbul, okay? Because Matt Macedo also wants come over to Europe. He was never here, and he said he wants to film also badly in Europe. So we can fly over a few directors, I think.
However it wants to work, you know, I'll let them know what my dates are. It'll be a
Six
lot of fun. It's
verticals, you know. I think
Yeah,
there's a lot of two.
everybody gets a taste of it. If that's the case, then I want to be on camera for one of them. I want to be the lead villain in one of them. For the ones that I'm not on,
Oh, that even gets better. That even gets better
that's
then.
cool.
That's good.
I would do
Yeah, I
that.
forgot you're also in acting. You know, Matt will never go in front of the camera. But
Yeah,
you
I
are.
have my ego's too big for that. I need
Have you
to.
ever played a villain, Vaughn?
Course.
Really?
Yeah. I did not in verticals, in like other films and TV and movies though.
Okay, yeah. Not in verticals. I was just thinking, eh, I never saw you in a vertical as a villain, Vaughn.
Yeah, I it's that's it's a little for me, it's a really hard needle to thread if you are the director and you have to be the captain of the ship, and then 3 minutes later you're in the costume and you're slapping somebody, calling them a nasty bitch, and then like the next 6 days you have to pretend like that didn't just happen. You know what I mean? Like
Yes, to switch
I
from a
react
nice guy to a
to the
badass. Okay.
thing. So for me, I like to take like the funny characters because then it's easier to be like, oh my God, what is Danny doing right now? Ha 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 ha. Or like the quick small roles in and out, whatever. But something with like a little bit more sustenance and substance is challenging, given not only like wearing multiple hats at once and kind of directing while acting and all that presents a lot of challenges, but it's the socio impact of like, okay, this is a person of authority who also now, has to kiss the female lead. Like it's like all of that is just like things of like, no, 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 no,
No,
no, no.
no.
I'm gonna keep those very separate.
Crosses lines. That does work
Yeah,
out.
it's just not a thing that I'm interested in looking at. But if it's a thing that I'm not directing, totally different story. If I
Okay, I
can
think Matt would direct it.
now
Then you
direct
can
the
be
comedy.
the villain who shows up in every country.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And then the ones that I direct in that country too, we'll figure out scheduling on that. It'll be great. We'll code that in
That
there. It'll
idea
be
gets even better. I'm
pretty
not sure
good.
if I will if I can publish this in in the podcast, because otherwise maybe the idea would be stolen.
No, put it out there. Let it happen. Manifest it. Here's my crystal. Manifest it, and it will happen. Put it out in the world.
No, but because that would be, I'm sure we could also do a vertical in France because France is really nice in the areas.
Yeah, I don't know the production footprint. I've been talking to a couple companies about filming in Paris and then filming in Marseille and like what that might look like to film in the South versus just Paris. And I think the production culture out there would be maybe the first hurdle. But if they're down to do it, it would be
I'm
great.
sure
But
it's
I don't
like in Germany.
yeah, I don't think they'd want an American director, to be honest. And if they would, more than happy to go. When I first went to Istanbul, I didn't know any Turkish. I didn't know the language at all. I didn't know the customs or the community,
Yeah, the culture there.
culture.
Yeah.
And I was so embraced and so welcomed. And so it gave me room to learn the language, to be obsessed with the culture, to really like love the people. And it was such a positive experience. I walked away from Istanbul. I can speak like I would have full conversations with my DP, with our ADs in Turkish. Like it would be no, it was really, really a profound, substantial experience where like that is a production city where like I just understand the people. I understand like how the mentality, I understand the limitations, I understand the strengths. And how to best utilize the resources that are available to us with a culture, with the people that so desperately also want to make really cool stuff.
What makes it different filming in, for example, Istanbul? Did you ever film in another European country?
Not yet.
Verticals?
No,
Verticals,
not
not yet.
yet. Just Istanbul in Europe and Istanbul, Vancouver, Los Angeles. I have a couple of things that are like maybe in December. I have a couple of things that are maybe for 2026. So we'll see where it shakes out. But right now, just those three.
When was your first time in Istanbul? This year in January, the one, or what?
January this year, yeah.
And how did you get to Istanbul? What was the initial to film there?
So the our lovely, beautiful JC Ann in the virtual space. She's a good friend. We've done a couple of verticals here together in LA, and then we just became like friends, like buddies offset. Like we just re really clicked. And so, while she was going to Lithuania in Istanbul, she had brought my name up to the Drama Pops folks, Berkay specifically. And then I interviewed with Berkay and Amuch, who's the head of Palm Film, who's one of the vendors for Drama Pops, and it was great. Like we hit it off immediately. They saw my previous work. Our conversation was seemed to be, like we had a similar direction in which we wanted to start to take verticals. And yeah, and then a couple of weeks later, I was on a plane. I remember I was in the middle of doing Adopting Her Past with Fumero Films for shorts, which was Eric Yeomet, Alexa Reddy, Bradley Schatz, Eric Ruff. Jolene Anderson, really, really fun cast, really great story. Jones was in there too. as we're shooting Adopting Her Past in LA, I had the contract from the dudes in Istanbul, and it's 15 pages long, and I'm in the middle of setups. I remember it was Alexa Reddy was about to kiss Bradley Schatz, and there's a photo somewhere on my Instagram of like her like not leaning in properly, whatever. So I like have to like we cut 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 cut. I'm kind of like I'm showing her. I'm like, and I grab Bradley by the jacket, and I like lean in. Like I like, you got to lean in this way, and that's what. And somebody took a little BTS of just like that moment. And then as I get back to my director monitor, my phone, I'm on page 3 of 15 for this Istanbul Turkish contract, and I'm looking at myself, and I'm like, okay, so I got to read this contract because I think I'm going to go to Istanbul as soon as this project wraps, and then I got to make sure she hits her mark, and I make sure he's got to stay out of her light. And blah, 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 blah. And my brain is going like,
Multifunctional.
I think the ADHD has got to help. It is a superpower in this industry.
What makes it different filming in Istanbul than in the US, for example?
The production scope is bigger in Istanbul for sure. Like we'll have like bigger crews, for sure.
Okay.
Like between with all the drivers and the extras, and I mean 100-person sets easily.
Is
So
there
you
more budget than in the US?
I don't know that there's more budget. I just think that the money can go farther.
Yeah, okay. It's not so expensive in the
It's not
country.
labor rates are a little bit cheaper, but then rental rates are more expensive. Or you could look at cost of food might be a little bit cheaper, but then the cost of housing your director and your talent is expensive. So it ends up kind of evening out. But what we can do is utilize the resources. The hard thing is like in LA, you can get a great rain rig for like a pretty cheap cost. In LA and Istanbul, to get a rain rig, it's going to be a lot more expensive, but you can get 40 more background actors. So it's like, it's where do you want to spend the money? What does the story need? And how can you best satisfy that given the scope of production services and then the story you're trying to tell?
Because I never s we spoke about it in the review episode yesterday. No one of us ever saw a bad produced vertical on Drama Pops.
And that's a
Drama.
testament to Burkai and Palm Film and Depot and Drama Pops and
Yeah.
all the directors and producers and crew members, and that is absolutely
The
a result.
quality is really high. They are not dropping so many shows in a month, like, for example, Real Short or Drama Box or whatever. But the quality, we have the feeling that they take more time to do good quality.
I think too. I feel so creatively involved in the storytelling side of things with Drama Pops that I don't find as much of, Drama Box, I think also has a really nice culture where like you can adjust the scripts to make it make sense. Drama Pops and Drama Box are places where I've had the experience where like you're able to say, yeah, but if we do this 50 pages later, this is going to get paid off in a way that's that makes more sense. This is more in line with the character. The mom wouldn't be upset in this moment. I don't care that the adults have to be screaming. No, the mom should be caring and compassionate. Like having those like
More
relationship.
open for changes.
Yeah, it just makes for more thought out, well-rounded stories where I, some of these other companies are like, nope. The original version, if it was a Chinese version, they held the thing in their left hand and he slapped her with the right hand. So you better hold the thing in your left. And it's like, it's not about, that's not why that was successful. That was successful because the culture around that show to this audience, that connected a little bit better, or a myriad of other reasons. I highly doubt it was successful because he held the thing in the left hand and he slapped her with the right. You know what I mean? Like, what are we? How are we? I had a funny conversation with an executive recently where they were like, because I've been asked a couple times to remake American versions of Chinese verticals. And in doing so, I had like overheard part of a conversation and I translated it. And it was in Mandarin. And they were saying that, like, yeah, we can ask Danny to do this shot for shot, but he's just going to do what he wants to do anyway. So, like, why even bother? Let him just do the thing that he does.
Why
I was
not?
like, honestly, I was like, cool, like, it's not a thing of like, I never come at it from a place like disrespect, but it's like, how can I service the story better? How can I set up for the audience better? And if we're, Because an audience isn't going to know that this was a shot for shot remake. An audience isn't going to want to necessarily see that either. They just know
Sometimes you see if it's a shot-to-shot remake, and even you can hear it because the text is so badly
bad.
translated.
Exactly.
And then the sentence make no sense, and you're
It's
watching
hard.
it and it's like, eh? What? What?
I've noticed
And
too that like the idioms, similes, they don't always translate properly. So it's like, I'll throw the baby out with the bathwater. And so then the producer's like, well, we need a bath and a baby. And I'm like, no, it's an expression. You don't need a bath or a baby. It's just an expression. It's a phrase. Right. Okay. We'll do one without the expression. But then we'll do one with a bath and a baby. And then in post, we'll just figure out what to do. And I'm like, or we don't need to put the money towards the resources because I know it's not going to make any sense. And then ultimately, we'll shoot it both ways. And then they'll put in the one with the bath and the baby. And you're like, it didn't make sense. Why are we?
And you know, the funny part is that mostly of the people who talk shitty sentence are a lawyer in the series or normally well-studied people, and then they are talking such shitty sentence. No.
But I will say what I do like, sorta, is at least I like maybe I've just like heard too many at this point. There's a certain style of speaking in these verticals, the vernacular, the lexicon that we're building out, that almost feels like transatlantic Americana from like the 40s and 50s, that people don't talk like that anymore. But if you watch a movie and oh my stars, Atlanta, you know, that kind of thing, whatever, and you're like, oh, that was such a specific time and place. Now you watch these verticals and you're like, I bet a bitch can't whelp her own pups. And you're like, people don't talk like that, but verticals do, and I think that's the charm of verticals a little bit, is like I think there is a little bit of this. If we want really traditional, really grounded stories, I think there's other places to find those. But if we
Absolutely.
heightened kind of thing, so let's lean into. That's why I mentioned this before on a couple different podcasts, but the last seven or eight verticals I've done, I've tried to throw the word skunk in somewhere.
Yeah, the
Please,
Easter egg.
skunk.
I heard that.
So, but again, it feels like that's the thing of like, I'm trying to lean into this, the vernacular that's already being built of like, let's keep it a little campy. Let's keep it a little bit of this like new way of speaking because this is the vertical that we're watching. If you want something incredibly grounded, cool. Let's try an incredibly grounded vertical. I do think it won't be as thumb stopping, as engaging necessarily. And you do sort of need the you shameless bitch. It's like, oh my God. That's what you want. That's what we're here for. It's like you skunk. Like I don't know. Fuck it.
Is it in every vertical you did, the skunk?
Ever since I just like I think I got the idea in July. So one, it's been four so far. Yeah, and I'm gonna do what I can and
In
try and throw.
every upcoming, so I have to
But I
watch
have
them.
one that I hopefully will do soon. That's a pirate one. It's like it's in the process, and I'm trying to think of a place where how do we throw a skunk in like the old timey pirate skunk? Like I don't know. I don't. I'm not gonna break an audience from the story just to add my little thing. But if it works, it's a fun thing that I like.
You can put an era, a bird who said, "You're a skunk."
That's hilarious. That hey, if I make this pirate one and that happens, you know that that just came from this moment, okay? That's fun. You skunk.
Why not?
That's the fun thing about verticals. That's why I love verticals. It's like, fuck it, why not? Let's do
So
it.
the audience would love it, I'm sure. They would love that. When you
That's
have a
the thing.
pirate with the bird on his shoulder and
You still skunk.
Why
I know. Everybody on set's gonna be like, Danny, are you doing your does this have anything to do with the story? No, fuck, shut up. I'm having fun. Shut up. It's fine. It's fine.
Why not?
Why
Hello?
not? Why not? You know? No, it's fun.
Animals are always good in verticals. Animal cells.
We threw a dog in at the very last episode of this one that I did with Casey and Ashley. I think it's gonna be called Till Divorce Do Us Part. In the very, very end of it, we have our producer, like the head of the Palm Film, one of my brothers, his devil, his name's Amut, really like a true friend, and his dog Luna is like my one of my favorite things of Istanbul. I love Luna.
Luna.
And
Yeah,
the
every
script is
dog in Europe is called Luna.
really that's funny.
Yes, in Germany there are so many
A
dogs
thousand
called
Lunas.
Luna. Yeah.
Well, this Luna is wonderful and beautiful and amazing and made it into the last episode, and it was really sweet.
No, because on the criminal vertical series we talked about, Kirby will get, I have two black labs, Labrador retrievers, for hunting. And they're really good in sniffing.
Love it.
And Krabby will get my younger black lab dog as their partner for,
Awesome.
sniffing
Awesome.
around and get up some new.
They say the two things to avoid shooting with are animals and babies, just because it's so logistically complicated. But for a scene or two, let's do it, you know?
The thing is, not if I look at my dogs are very good trained because I take them when I'm giving lectures at the university. I take them with me and they are really well trained for some different other stuff to work. And I did some acting stuff too here in Germany. And one of him already joined me on a set.
Oh, really? That's
He
cool.
was in a movie. Yeah, he's kind
What kind of
of.
lectures are you doing at lecture hall? What are you doing?
I'm a studied business informatics woman.
Oh, that's cool.
And I'm giving lectures about the software SAP.
So how did you find your way into these verticals?
To be honest, I think one of the first audience I started watching in 2023,
I
and
started watching internet. Look at that. Look at us.
I was trapped in a hospital with no
Oh.
TV. And
Wow. Yeah, sure.
to be honest, the marketing department of ReelShot did a really shitty good job.
Yeah, they're great.
I was catched up with an ad on Facebook. It was for the double life of my billionaire husband with Jared Harper and who were in Molly, I think, and I don't know. And I saw this ad for a month and I was hardly trying to resist.
Yeah,
But every
that's a pretty
time you
expensive.
see another episode, and on some point I got weak and thought, oh bullshit, I want to know this whole story.
It's just fun. Fuck it.
And then I got a weekly membership of ReelShort, and it was soon before Breaking the Ice was released. And the cool thing was, when I first got this membership, the weekly membership, I really watched 4 nights and days all the series which were released until this point. So I did a little bit of
Awesome.
vertical marathon.
Sure.
And then I thought, okay, so now you've watched every show, and then other apps popped up and new advertisings were shown, and I thought, shit, I'm trapped in that.
That's kind of a great, story though, of like how you can get converted into becoming a fan, and like how it's not just one episode of one series. It is an overall way of watching a story, of telling a story.
For me, it's really important. I'm not that kind of, how can I say it, nerdy fun girl who's hyping one actor, as some other person maybe does. Said, oh yeah, I love him. Oh, I love her. I want to see. No. For me, the first priority is a good story.
That you
And
know I
so it's getting a bit hard in the late week last weeks because when you're started watching from the beginning on, a lot of stories are repeating now. And after 2, 3 episodes, you know exactly how the story will go.
And
So
you know I think that's also kind of a testament to like you can only make 30 movies a month and tell so many stories, you know what I mean? Like it's just the
yeah.
same. The thing that really frustrates me though is, and I'm not going to blame any one company because this happens all the time, but very, very, very recently, I did a great a story that I'm super proud of. It's has not been released yet, with two stars that I love dearly in a location that I really appreciate going to, telling a genre of vertical that I absolutely enjoy telling. I turn around, we wrap it. Everybody, this is gonna be great. This is gonna be great. We love it. Ba, 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 ba. 3 weeks later, those two leads are with that same company doing the exact same story in a similar setting to the same genre. And immediately, what it does, it dilutes the thing that we just did together. It says, hey,
Absolutely.
this whole special thing that we all feel really good about. The reason that they want to do it together, those two again, is because the first one was so special. Let's let the first one come out. Let's make that happen. Because then, as soon as it gets released, nobody's going to look at it again after the second one comes out now with the exact same people.
Exactly. And the thing is, sometimes there was a story with the Frozen, 30 Years Frozen, I don't know the exact
Yeah, that
title.
came out like four times, but with different apps and different cast.
Yeah, but with only 2 or 3 days apart releasing days. What kind of shit?
You look at that too. Hollywood's been doing that forever. Look at Armageddon and Deep Impact. Look at like for always. It's always been the Bug's Life and ants. That's just a thing that it's A/B testing. They're doing it on $400 million scales. We're doing it on the tiny, tiny scales. But no, it's annoying because it's like, remember the thing that we just did? Well, somebody else also just did it, and maybe they did it better, or maybe their casting was stronger, or maybe they decided to go left when you thought it'd be interesting to go right. And so it makes this the art of the experience very commercially processed, which is what, we're made. I don't know if we're making art, if we're making commerce, but I'm happy
Yeah,
to be.
but what do you think how you can avoid something like this
I don't know if
or
you can. I don't
resolve
know
a,
that
such a problem?
it's slowing down with your storytelling. It's not being so not oversaturating the space as deep as we are. I think that the name of the game on a business perspective, though, is like spend, 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 spend. Let's grow our audience to as big as possible, and then we can tell less stories at more higher rates. Increase the price of the thing, tell less stories. And it's like, what? It's the Uber approach. That's what Uber did to drive out taxis. They're going to be everywhere and they're going to be cheap. Now there's going to be no more taxis. Now it's 50 bucks an Uber. And you're like, so it's just the come on, that's what's happening, but to TV with these verticals. And like, I think that while it is incredibly exciting and it's the new expanse to it, I've had a lot of meetings in the week that I've been back to LA with like big Hollywood industry professionals at like these studios and executives that are picking my brain about what we're doing, what we're making, and how they can get involved. And as soon as Hollywood gets involved, then it's going to be like this is Gen One. We're wrapping up Gen One of what verticals can
Yeah,
do.
absolutely. It's still at the beginning, yeah.
We're about to enter Gen 2 of verticals, and I'm really curious to see like what that does, and how that's going to make things feel. At the end of the day, you're still trying to make a movie in 7 days, and that's never going to be easy. That's always going to be hard. It's always going to be flawed, and there's going to be tiny little mistakes that make it into the final edit and all these things, whatever. When you put more attention to the thing, but you don't want to spend more money making it, I don't really see how that's a recipe for success. I think that's like a lot like, hey, these things were are fun and special because they're fun and special. If we put the apex amount of pressure on what these things are, it immediately sucks the fun out of, well, the next 8 days are going to be a real fucking slug, and then you gotta like, oh, you gotta bring everybody with you on this thing where it's like, I've done verticals like that, and I've done verticals where everybody's just been like, let's just lean in and make this as best as fun as this one can be. And the ones that are fun typically end up being the ones that are more popular, out of the ones that I've made, at least,
Yeah,
where we
because
go.
I think the audience sees or feels the atmosphere. You know what I mean? You
Think so.
can tell exactly which actors or actress is doing it for the money because it's a job, and which one is so dedicated to this role, you know? So you see that exactly as an audience if you are not totally new in it, you know. So if you have watched a lot of verticals, then you see who's doing it because of the money, who's doing it because of the passion of acting or stuff like that. You see this exactly. How do you sometimes motivate your crew and cast on set? Is it sometimes difficult to
I will say this.
motivate?
I will say this writ large about every crew I've worked with. I think, and this, I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say this. Every crew I've worked with, if not every, almost all my crews, understand what this is and are here to do a good job. And they don't need motivation other than the fact that they like what they do and they like to be paid. And they're here for the money. And they're here to make the thing look good, but I never have a problem motivating crew. That's why I love crew, man. I might be an actor as well, but I'm a set rat till I die. I'm channel one, I'm production, baby. Like, that's my shit. And like from the gaffers, the grips, the art department, hair, makeup, wardrobe, locations, everybody, ADs, like crew knows the score. And the score is, we're on set to make money, and so this is our livelihood, and we have families that we're trying to feed, and we have a house that we're trying to pay off, or we just have rent that we're trying to make, and we want to build our career. And all right, well, this one's a vertical, whatever, but we'll get it done. And they show up with a good attitude, and they come early, they stay late, and they get zero recognition. They get no credit at the credits.
Absolutely.
Half the time, they're not even in the IMDb. I don't think they want it. I don't think they care enough to be. But like that just goes to show that like these are not people that need to be motivated. These are hardworking, talented people that deserve to be paid more. Cast motivation, as it always is, that's always a whole different thing where it's like, in the irony of it, it's like, hey, you guys got here at 11:30, these guys got here at 6 a.m. But like, okay, sure, let's talk your motivation for it. I think there's also something though about like, hey, these are people that are putting their body and their face, their likeness on screen to tell these stories. Where like a grip needs to, block out this window to make sure the light doesn't come through, doesn't matter as much as, in terms of like the mental impact of what being in a scene where you walk in on your brother sleeping with your mother is gonna do. You know what I mean? Like, so I think to motivate cast can be complicated because if I myself am also not motivated, then we have to find a way to like really care about like what we're doing here in this moment, even though the story makes no sense and we've been saying since day one that he shouldn't get with her because it makes everybody else unlikable. Like, but at a certain point in time, it's like, this is the job. This is what you agreed to sign up to. This is what I agreed to make. Let's find a way to make this as close to how they want it in a way that we feel comfortable making it. Where I think that's my thing is like, what is the middle ground here that also doesn't alienate an audience? Because an audience might be like, well, she should have just, at a certain point, you might as well just commit to the story that you're in. Whether you agree with the story or not, you kind of got to just buy it. And if you don't buy it, an audience will never buy it. So it's a lot. It's a lot of like, circumstantial where, but and also too, it's like, where are you coming into work that morning? What happened last night within your personal life? Are you in the middle of a crazy move? Are you breaking up with a partner? All these things. And then you got to like mitigate that. You got to say, okay, for this
Private is
scene,
private, job is
it's
job.
got, and also now you need the person that you spent the last 80 pages telling you they love you is going to slap you. Action. Sorry.
What was your thoughts after doing your first vertical? Did you thought, what the heck was that? Or, oh hell yeah, I want to do this more?
It was so funny. It was like, my first thought after was like, this was so fun. Oh my God, what did we just do? This is crazy. It was October of 2023. It was a 78-page script or something.
What was
I
your
had
first vertical you directed?
it was Love by Contract on Good Short with Noah Fernley and Rachel Coops.
I know.
It was, and I had no idea what a vertical is. I never watched a vertical. I had no time and prep to get any real sense as to what we were making. All I knew is we were telling a movie, And the cameras were gonna be vertical. And I was like,
And you
okay.
have 12 days.
And no, I had like, it was like 7 days and it was like ready to go. And it was like,
Okay, so directly in the short versions.
exactly. And I had like, I don't know, maybe a week of prep and that was it. And so like, I didn't have enough time to be worried or scared or nervous. I just was like, go. Okay, here's what it is. And then I remember by like lunch of day, it was lunch of day one where I was like, okay, I think I know what we're doing. And I remember by day three, I was starting to like, there was this one moment in particular that's so specific. And this isn't really your question, and I apologize. But
No, it's fine.
there
Spill
was a
it.
moment where it was one of our supporting antagonists where was not totally hitting the mark. So we had to do take two. And then getting closer, it wasn't totally right. So then I had to give him an acting note and a blocking note. So then take three. Okay, great. The blocking note's cool. The acting note was wrong. Really, it's this instead of that. So take four. Okay, great, great. And actually, it's not those two. It's this thing. So take five. Nailed it. Hit the mark. Had the background actors. It had the right intention. His eye line was good. Took five takes. And then everybody looks at me like, we're good. We can move on. And I just remember sitting in here for another like maybe minute, and I was like, yeah, cut, cut, cut. And I was like, if I move on now, I have to figure out what the next shot is. And I need to keep running the train forward. Or I can just do this one more time because I finally know what it is. And I have it. I don't need to do it again. But like I need to give myself a break in this moment. And like I was like, we'll take it one more time for safety. And that was the
Backup,
thing.
just a backup.
Just a backup, just another thing. And he does it and it was fine and it was whatever. And then we moved on and that had given me a little bit of a reprieve in that 45 seconds to mentally pull myself back up and be like, all right, we're turning the world. We're going to look over here. You got to come in from over there. I need no light coming in from over here. And you got to be sad about it because what just happened? And like, it was that moment on the first movie where I was like, I truly felt like I only had gotten my bearings after having getting it was like, oh, it doesn't come out of the box just ready. You have to set it up. And then once you set it up and you get it, you have to push you to move forward because you know how much more you have to do today or the rest of the week or all these things. And that was a microcosm of what like the next 2 years of my life would end up being doing these verticals. And I loved it.
Did you
And I
only
just,
verticals in the next 2 years?
I did a couple commercials. I acted in a TV show. I acted in a couple commercials. I released two music videos.
Okay.
I made an
Yeah, the
EP.
last one you released lately, I saw. It's great. I love it.
I want you to count all the vertical people that are in that video. There's so many vertical people in my music video. It's really fun. But no,
Okay,
but
I'll do.
mainly these last 2 years, I've just kind of been in the vertical train. I spent the last 12 years making other kinds of video content, TV shows, movies, music videos, commercials, digital sketches, everything. In the last 2 years, I still do some digital sketches. I have a comedy show that I host where I'm a judge, where it's like a hot takes on trial and we like debate silly things. But truly, like this vertical landscape is something that I'm really interested in, like continuing to carve a lane out for myself and establish a name for myself doing.
What do you think, what kind of improvement this vertical space needs for the next 2 years?
There's a lot that I could say here in this moment. And I think the thing that people are going to want me to say is pay increases and make sure that our leads are paid the same. I think that that is a problem writ large. I think also myself being in a position of setting my rate as a director, I'd love to see my crew get paid more. I would love to see equity in back end on the viewership as creatives on these things. I'd love to see our cinematographers get some back end, so the writers get back end, the actors get back end, myself as a director, the producers get back end. I have slowly, I mean, I'm starting to see a little bit more diversity, inclusion, and casting. Would love to see and be able to tell stories that aren't just two pretty white people falling in love over and over and over again. I think that truthfully, the next foray in verticals, I think, is going to be trying to expand it to a male audience as well, reaching out to tell those stories and see what that looks like, and
What do you think? What kind of stories would be interesting for a male audience?
I think that men like to see men struggle and then overcome. I think we want to see, as guys, we're used to seeing a world where the world just shits on you and puts you down, and despite all that, you still manage to win, and you get the girl, and you do the thing, and so we want to see these adversity strife stories where, despite all the resilience, we're still able to persevere. And that can very much still be in the form of like a romantic story. That can be a buddy comedy. That can be,
Or
zombies.
science fiction style.
Everything, you know what I mean? So, I know that we're gonna start leaning towards that a little bit more as like a collective. But I would love to see, understanding that I'm speaking from a place of privilege where I do make a set my rate and only take the jobs that are gonna match my rate. I do want to see everybody else start to get fed equally. You know what I mean? Like, there's a world where these companies are making enough money. And also, like, I also know that they're not making a ton of money because they're spending so much doing these things. I think everybody's okay if they don't do 30 a month and they just do 12 a month or 20 a month. There might be less jobs, but the jobs there are going to be better paid, and the audience is going to be more satiated towards that. So I don't know. I think that for me is like, a couple of different directions I'd like for this to go. And I do think that like my female leads deserve equal pay as our male leads. I think the male lead sometimes brings in the audience, but just in terms of sweat equity and the journey that we're taken on through our female protagonist, it's absolutely through her eyes. So why wouldn't we also get paid the same amount?
And to be honest, women get slapped, women get this. They have more work to do on a
They got more work
set.
to do. That's not even that they're in the rain. They're almost getting assaulted. They're the one that they it, it is it is it is
They get kidnapped. They
they're
everything.
bloody, they're scraped up. They're also doing it in high heels in short skirts. You know what I mean? Like, it is truly remarkable what some of these girls and these women are doing, and doing it, gracefully, well learning their lines, well knowing the blocking, and taking us on an emotional journey, and like and being a collaborative creative partner in the space. So like, I would love to see that happen as well. I'd love to see some of my other directors get paid, like, well as well, men and women. I know that that all of that can be increased. So I think pay equity is a huge part of it. I think continuing to tell stories that people care about, or I guess begin to tell stories that people care about, would be really, really nice. Widen out to a male audience would be cool. Where do you want to see this industry take itself?
I spoke a lot with other fans also, and the first part who should be get improved are the stories, because there are so, first of all, there are so often so many trigger points in the stories, which is really a problem. And the second one is, as I told you, every month we are turning more and more verticals off and did not watch it completely because of so much violence in the story and abusement, and also because of the, for example, some verticals is a big banquet scene, as I told before, 1 hour about it, and there's only one question. Is it really him or is he a
Right.
fraud?
And
And
everybody knows that it's him, or he is the fraud.
yeah,
It's
and you are
obvious.
sitting in front of your phone and said, "Come on, show them your ID and the problem is solved."
Exactly. Right.
So
This could be done in 10 minutes. What are we doing?
and for me, for example, as a professor, I cannot watch the professor verticals because it's so stupid. It's so stupid. And I spoke with Caitlin, aka Verticate. She works in the medicine. And to see all these shitty played hospital scenes, getting a defibrillator over the clothes to get reanimated. It's, you know, I want to see more, not real, yeah, realistic. If you are playing a scene in the hospital, you cannot say that a person got a surgery, a brain surgery, and 2 days after he got released without a scarf, nothing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've definitely been in those conversations though, where and I know enough of what the app is going for to like be the person to be like, it's fine. She doesn't need a scar. It's fine. It's fine. Because what we want to see is we want to see her pretty face, and we want to see the pretty thing. And we want to see the blah 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 blah. That's the I know.
Yeah, you know, I had a brain surgery. Yeah. And I was completely raped off my hairs. I was laying in hospital a long time, and I had a really big scarf here. And when I see, okay, someone needed a so-called urgent surgery, and 2 days later, the person is totally fine at home. No.
Mm. No. Even in the escapism romance of it all.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. I get you.
You know, okay. No, that's some little detail who can be a proof that it's not so ridiculous sometimes in the story.
But don't you think, I genuinely don't know the answer, but don't you think, because you're such an avid watcher, these things bother you? But for the main audience, a lot of that I met at Verticon that aren't going to be making their own podcast about verticals, that are more passively engaged in these things, it doesn't bother them as much. The majority of our audience doesn't. It doesn't.
I think a lot of fans get bored of some kind. I spoke to a lot, and everyone said, "Yeah, that's kind of shitty." Okay, yeah. So, you know, I think the main audience is like around about women from 20 till 60 or stuff like that. And women. So if I'm checking on that, there are so, I cannot understand why so many women are watching scenes where women really get abused and raped and beaten, that they miscarriage and stuff like that. Also, there is an audience who wants to see these bad scenes to feel themselves better, because they are not in this bad situation. For me, the thing is, when I'm watching Verticals, I really want to be entertained. A little bit of Cinderella story, a little bit of fairy tale, all nice. But if there is a vertical so full of violence that every 2 seconds someone gets beaten up, sorry, no. That's for me not entertaining. That's for me not something I want to see when I'm sitting down on my couch after a long day and just want to relax. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think everyone who enters the space as an audience, for the first 2-3 months, it's okay to watch these stories. But if you see it in every vertical and there is no variety in the vertical stories itself, it really starts to annoy you latest after 6 months, stuff like that.
And keep saying stuff like that, because that's going to be the stuff that's going to help get it changed. And it's like having the audience respond to that is the thing that's going to make that change more than anything.
Yeah. So that was the reason why I said, okay, I'm doing this podcast. Now I have a private podcast. No, a German podcast. It's not private. It's a German podcast for 4 years now. And, for me, it was a way to speak up, because, and that's the reason why I wanted to talk to directors, also to crew members, also to the fans, to get this whole picture of the verticals. Because as you told me, or I talked to Molly Anderson, and she told me already, she's totally pissed that even if a vertical is hitting 100 million views and the company makes a holy shit bunch of money out of it, she only get paid once exactly that what she's in the contract for beginning before the filming. And even if the vertical is sold to 2-3 different platforms, they only get paid once.
Exactly, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
That's
and so I think that's some points that, for example, the fans didn't know.
yeah.
So, and
And
the
that's
other thing is that when I'm talking to fans, we are talking about stuff you didn't know as a director or you didn't know as an actor. Because when I talked to others and said, listen, I have at the moment 49 apps on my handy, they all said, what? And I said, yeah, because right at the moment, every new show which drops is felt on a new platform. And for example, a weekly membership on Reelshort cost me 25 euros. And some platforms don't offer memberships. You have to buy coins to watch the whole series. And if I'm doing that, a show is round about 50 or 60 euros. And it's fucking expensive for the audience to watch shows when they drop. Or if it's a platform where only one show is seems to be good. So, and when you have 49 platforms, and for example, you're thinking about a weekly membership with 25 euros. That's a fucking expensive hobby to watch verticals. And so we are the people who brings the money to this industry. So I don't
Totally.
understand why the audience sometimes get creepy, shitty stories.
I think it's totally valid. I think you could not be saying more accurate things. And I want nothing but consider. I do nothing but try and consider you guys while making anything. And it is the only way to tell these stories. That being said, it's the hardest thing to do because you're looking at your perspective on it versus my employer who wants this to only want you to stay with them on their journey. And you're just like, there's no disconnect between what you just said and what I'm expected to make sometimes. And I'm like, if you just talk to anybody for more than 3 seconds, but that's not really what they do sometimes. And also sometimes their analytics are stronger than anything. And we're like, okay, well, if this is where you want to put your money, then let's see where it goes. But I think you're right. Like you guys are the one that's paying for this industry. So let's tell the stories that you guys wanted to see, you know?
And make it more variety, you know? As we told before, when you have exactly the same story, only with different casts, if the story is shit, the cast cannot make the story good.
Doesn't make it any better. You know what I mean? It's got to be a good story. That's always the one, you
And
know?
there is so many potential for good stories.
Course. And I think what's exciting too is seeing some of the people in this space start to write their own stories.
Yeah, I was gladly recognizing that. Also,
That's
that more and more actors get into writing, so they also know the different or the both sides of the story, then how it works to do that. And so I'm hoping that we are getting better in the next year. I don't know in which
I think so.
way.
I think coming into 2026, we're going to see a lot of change. I think it's going to be really exciting. I think it's going to move the industry forward. I'm just going to try and stay on the ride as long as they'll keep me on. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
totally understandable.
Yeah.
The thing is, we talked yesterday in this review episode. It was very open and honest. I think some platforms won't like it, what we are talking about. Because, for example, the Reelshort one, it was the first membership I had. And when from the beginning on, they dropped round about two shows per week. Roundabout. So 8 till 10 shows per month. Right now, they are dropping roundabout 8 shows per week. So nearly 30 shows per month. And it's only one platform of this 49 at the moment. So we got so overloaded with shows, and you are not, what should I watch? What should I, oh, no shit. We don't need so many new stories. We don't need it, but we do need it better ones. So,
Quality over quantity is always kind of the thing.
did you ever decline a story to
All
produce?
the time. Oh, yeah.
What are the reasons when you decline?
Sorry. It's I don't want to tell that. I don't I it's too violent. It's too risky. It's not well done. It's not there's no there's no minutia to it. And if we're just gonna be like, there's one thing about like, all right, making a statement, telling a story that's like maybe a little risky, but it has a point. If these have a point, but then just to see somebody awful things happen to somebody for 80 pages, I do not want to do it. I sometimes have been put in a thing where I've signed the contract, they'll switch the script on me, and then I'm legally obligated to do something in that time with them. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to do that. What's a third script? And the third script is the lesser of three evils. And you're like, is this the goal the whole time where you want to just use that you're gonna now
It was all planned tactic.
yeah. And like that also feels like shady, and I don't like that. There was one recently that came to me that was like, it also just was so complicated where I was like, you want to do this in 8 days? This at least takes 3 months to make. This is like, a traditional, they used to make movies in 10 months, and then 3 months became the new standard. Like, you want to do this in 8 days? This is too big of a story. That happens sometimes too. There's one recently came to me where like it dealt with like mental disability, and then like she gets beat to inch of her life and then becomes like mentally
Oh,
challenged.
holy.
But then halfway through she regains her intelligence, but has to fake like she doesn't have it again. And I was like, guys, please tell me that you see how absolutely inappropriate and absurd this is. You really want me to make this? I don't want to make this. Please do not make me make this. And they're like, but the original version did really, really well. And I was like, I don't think that that's going to translate to a Western audience. I don't know how this worked initially, but what I'm seeing here is incredibly offensive and also just not something I want to put any energy into making. For on 90 pages, I think I had 103 notes. I shouldn't have more notes than pages on a thing. The fact that I even finished the script was crazy. But, and then it's like, okay, well, then do you want to do this banquet hall drama? And I'm like, okay, I'll do that. I gotta give them something, so I'll do that. But I won't do the other. It's like, pick your
It's a
battles, I suppose.
compromise.
Compromise. And then with the banquet hall drama, well, okay, let's do it as fun as we can. Okay, it's gonna get a little violent. Okay, let's lean into the little bit of the violence here because we're
A
here and
little
it's.
bit of violence is totally fine, but not even if a show is around about 1 hour and every 2 seconds or every 2 minutes someone's getting beaten up, it's shitty.
100%. So like, and it feels weird for us making it. You know what I mean? Like, so I try to avoid those as best as I can.
Hopefully. I'm very thankful for that, Danny.
Hey,
We'll
I'm thankful
see.
for a job, and I'm thankful to also try and start to become like a voice for people in this space that like are looking to see change. I'm trying to do what I can to like be that beacon if possible.
I'm very excited if there will ever be a vertical shooting in Germany, because in Germany the verticals are not very common at the moment. I think if
I've
this
a
markets will rise up in Europe more for the
yeah.
audience, there will be a big future for the verticals, because I have the feeling that the European market is not hit very big at the moment.
No, but there's platforms like Candy Jar and My Drama and Drama Pops that are like starting to build in the European space. So we'll see kind of what happens. I know that Drama Pops is going to start doing Turkish verticals, like in Turkish.
Oh,
So
okay.
like, you know what I mean? Like, great. Let's see what this does in other languages and how that feels and how that translates. So,
For example, I can watch the Asian verticals.
no.
No, because it's very difficult with the native language is Chinese to watch, and then you have totally to read the subtitles to get the story. And that's really exhausting. And for me, it's totally exhausting to listen 1 hour to a Chinese speak. Sorry, but it's really hard.
Well, it definitely I do appreciate international cinema, and I can get over the threshold of entry is just reading a subtitle. But I do think that the nuance is lost for sure. When you're especially with these verticals where like nuance is so right at the surface, you know what I mean? It's either you get it or you don't. And like when you don't, you can't connect with the expressions, you can't express with the the phrases, the inside cultural
Yeah.
jokes,
Yeah.
the reason that something might be embarrassing in one country is not embarrassing in another country. Like all of that is, yeah, doesn't lend itself to translate super
And
easily.
to be honest, the Chinese actors are always so thin, childish looking a little bit. They all look so young. For me, it's hard to believe a Chinese CEO billionaire
He's like
which
23.
yes.
Yeah,
And
that's
very
insane.
thin and small one, you know, if you compare it to example for Cayman Cardiff or
Right.
someone, you
Right.
know. I would prefer always the American CEO, absolutely, because it's more believable to me than seeing this. I don't know. I
Hey,
cannot.
that's your own preference to
I
it, and I
cannot connect to this story if the actor is not kind of believable.
That's fair. You got to make sure the casting's right on it, and I think for that audience it makes more sense. But yeah,
Absolutely. I think in Chinese they are doing well, but for the European culture or even for the US, I think it
I
doesn't
did
work.
a vertical in Canada, and our beefy billionaire was also kind of like that, like big hockey star kind of vibe, and I was like, this doesn't feel billionaire at all to me, but I like what we're doing here. You know what I mean? I was like, this
You
works.
know,
This
the
is
thing
awesome.
is, when there is a scene where the man hugs his wife or girlfriend or whatever, and if the man is so thin like the wife exactly,
Doesn't work as
no.
well. That's fair. Hey, to each their own. Everybody's got a preference. I'm a Chicago Midwestern boy. I give lumberjack kind of vibes. You know, that's all I know. That's the whole, you
Yeah,
know.
that's good. But you know,
Yeah.
the thing is, I hope that they're getting a bit more European stuff in it. I like the American ones. But I spoke to Dan Löwenstein and he told me that they are creating a platform in the UK by himself, a new platform. And I think when there are coming more and more platforms also from Europe, maybe, so the influence will getting
Yeah,
bigger, hopefully.
you know, I could not be more excited to be in this space while this is growing as fast as it is, and I hope to just continue to put out good work and be, you know, somebody sees a show is directed by Danny Barber, they're gonna want to watch it, and that
Yeah.
for me,
Yeah. We will
I think.
see. At the end, I'm doing always a 5-question quickie,
Sure.
Danny. So, first question, what's your favorite dish? Are you in kind of Turkish meals
I
now?
was just that you say that
Lahmacun or something like that? Lahmacun?
lahmacun is so good.
Or
If
kebab?
I'm going with Turkish, my favorite Turkish dish is iskender. Really, really good. If you don't know, iskender is it's like a meat sauce soaked in pita with garlic and butter and like beef, and it's really, really good.
Directly on the other side of the street where I'm living, it's a really great Turkish restaurant.
Oh, really? Okay, that's really good. Iskander with a künefe dessert. Pff, so good. And then in the States, I'm going to say ain't nothing better than a little bit of thin slice pepperoni pizza.
Okay,
Thin, thin.
question when you like pizza, pineapples on pizza or not?
You know,
Or
occasionally.
don't give me the wrong answer, Danny.
No, never.
Okay, good.
There you go. Yeah, that's fair.
If you
Never
ever go to
boo.
Italy for shooting verticals,
Yeah.
absolutely no go.
Fair
Pineapples
enough.
pizza, the Italian one will kill you.
Fair enough.
It will kill you. So don't even think about it. What's your favorite film as an audience, not as a producer?
School of Rock.
Oh, I love this one. I
I
saw it,
just
I think,
incredible.
two times in the cinema.
Yeah, just continues to hold, that holds up. It's exactly what got me into this industry when I was a kid. It's what I wanted to do. I ended up meeting so much of that cast. They shot really close to where I was from. Love that movie. Great movie.
Oh yeah, School of Rock is great. I haven't seen it for a long time. I got the soundtrack of this movie.
It's so good. That's what I'm saying. Like it touches on all things. If I can be the Jack, if I can be the Dewey Finn, the Jack Black character in a movie, where I can be just like the cool, like schlubby, down on his luck guy that like changes the hearts and minds of a bunch of like kids and puts them
Are
on a
you
good
the
path.
type of teacher?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that's my whole thing. I'm like Mr. Teacher Man.
Teacher. Hey,
Yeah,
maybe
dude.
you should do a professor vertical as a
I'm not trying to be sexy with it. I'm trying to be fun
no?
and like
Okay.
relatable.
What's your favorite song? What puts you in a good mood?
It's not my favorite song, but it will recently. There's a Canadian group called Dwayne Gretzky, and they have a cover of "You Can
Gretzky.
Call Me Al" by Paul Simon.
Dwayne Gretzky, where did I hear that?
Wayne Gretzky is a hockey player, and then Dwayne
Ha!
Gretzky, yeah,
Ha!
this
Okay.
is like
Okay, you
the
got it.
pun of it is Dwayne Gretzky, and they have this cover of "You Can Call Me Al" by Paul Simon. Call me Al. It's 4.5 minutes of the happiest you'll feel all day, because it's like a 16-piece band in this like Canadian basement that's absolutely crushing it. I
Okay,
don't know who these
I
guys
have to
are, who
Google
came by
this.
Al,
I'm
but a bunch
always
of.
looking for music who puts you in a good mood.
But also, you know that Danny Farber just released a new music video for "Baby, Baby, Baby, Baby" with a lot of
Danny
girls.
Farber, I heard about him. Who is
Yeah,
it?
he's pretty good. He's got fun. He's like
Did
a
I know
Mumford and
him?
Sons. Yeah, kind of. You parasocially through the internet, definitely. You kind
You
of
know,
know
in
him.
the Europe, we are not so.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm recording a new song next week.
A good
Do I? Do
mood song?
you want to hear it? Do I play it? No, that's wild. Whatever.
You can do it. I'm totally open it. Hello? If you ever want to play, Danny, listen. I didn't tell you. I'm doing every year in my garden, I have a project called Michaela Soundgarden because I have a 1,000 feet square feet garden and
Oh my
I'm
God, you really?
hosting, and I'm hosting every year a concert in my garden. And this year
Michelle, that sounds awesome.
it was a musician from England, and I also already had a duo from San Francisco.
Really?
And I'm hosting it. I'll send you a link. I'm hosting it in my big garden with a great finger food, round about 100 people audience,
Oh, wait, I want to go.
unplugged.
How do I play it? How can I play it?
Unplugged. Yeah.
I played unplugged. I played
And
unplugged.
next year it's the 10th episode. So maybe you want to join for the
Michaela,
10th.
if the invite comes, I'm bad at
It's in
refusing invites.
July. It's in
That's my
July.
birthday.
When?
July 1st.
No, it's not. Wait, I have to check. What's the second Saturday in July? It's always in the second Saturday of July. It's wait. No, it will be on the 4th of July because on the 11th my schedule is full. So it will be on the 4th of July next year.
It's basically my birthday, dude. That's
Like
pretty
it.
cool.
Okay, if you will come over, I will do it 2 weeks later. I will do it for you on the 18th of
I
July.
would do it on my birthday. I would do it on the 4th of July.
Really?
Why not?
Birthday in Germany? Why not?
It's fine. It's cool. It's 31. It's not like a big birthday. It's fine.
I will send you later a picture, then you can see the atmosphere.
If I can play it, listen to the song. Tell me if I fit your vibe.
Okay.
It's okay. This is unplugged. I
I
haven't
love
warmed up my voice.
unplugged. Only unplugged music is real music, you know?
I haven't warmed up my voice at all today. I'm sitting there in Istanbul, figured out I'm getting old. Trying to find someone else who wants to waste all the health with me. We'll see. When I was 21, felt like I was 65. Now that I'm 34, eager for so much more for me.
to be home. I'm trying to find my home. Home. The kind that's never gone. Swinging from the treetops and I'm singing from the sky above. Your sunshine dances on the breeze and I never felt so in love with you. It's true. Papa said my life be bright despite the chaos in my mind. But the crinkle in your smile and the freckle on your knee drives me crazy. Land, let's build upon our home and plans, the kind that's never done. Home, your love has brought me home. Hands, we built them with our plans. Home, the kind that's never done.
Okay, you're booked for my sound garden.
Okay. Well, that's called Istanbul, and I'm going to record it next week, and I'll let you know when it comes out, because I don't really know when it comes out.
That's really nice. So that's now my favorite song. Okay? Okay.
Ah, very sweet. Very sweet. Come on now.
No, I really loved your new song, who dropped.
Thanks.
I really love it. Really, you know, that's the type of music I always prefer for my sound garden. So I'm grounded. I don't need, as I said, only unplugged music is real music. I don't need much technique or stuff like that. Most of the actors came only with a mic and maybe a kind of subwoofer to that it's a little bit louder for the whole garden, and that's it. Nothing
that's
more.
That's kind of great.
Totally
that's
true,
what it's about, you
true
know what
music.
I mean? Yeah.
And then they are sitting in my garden. Everyone brings their own chair or picnic, stuff like that, and I'm doing a big finger food buffet, and all the people are sitting together and have a nice evening. And then Michaela Soundgarden,
the Michaela Bergman Soundgarden.
Nein, Bergman, not Berg. Mountain Man.
Mountain Man. Michaela Mountain Man.
Michaela. Yeah. No, it. You know, this kind of project. A stupid idea one night when I was studying. I lived with 12 men in a, in a house, and two of them were playing the guitar, and I did sing lessons at that time, and so we did always jam sessions in our living room.
I love jam sessions. I love jamming.
And after I was finished with studying, everyone gets new jobs and moved away, and I think it was 15 years later, no, 10 years later, they visit me both with their guitars in my new home for birthday, and we did the jam session like the old times, and I said, oh God, I miss this a lot. And at that time, I lived in another apartment where I have a really big living room, and then one of them said, come on, let's do a sofa concert. And we didn't find a date in this year. And then I moved, and then he called me and said, Michaela, we have to do the sofa concert. And I said, listen, I moved to a house. My living room is not as big as the old one, but I'm having a 1,000 square feet garden now. So maybe we can do it there.
Yeah.
And then he said, yeah, I have a vision, Michaela Sound Garden. And I said, okay, that sounds good. And then we did the first one. And he was clever because on the flyers he totally wrote volume one. And I said, why are you writing volume one? And he said, I'm sure it's not the last one. Yeah. And so we did 9-1 till today. Nice. And next year it's the 10-1. So
that's really great. I
had a singer from Ireland who did some really great Irish folk music. And the blues singer from England. Then the duo from San Francisco was kind of jazz rock style.
Let me be your American folky guy.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. That would be so lovely. That would be That'd so be lovely. Maybe you can combine it with some vertical shootings in Istanbul.
Kind of great. I think it's very possible, actually. I know that I'll be back in Istanbul for 3 months next year. So
Maybe in July.
We haven't set the dates yet, so maybe.
And then you have to say sorry. And this weekend, sorry, I cannot. I have to take free.
We can build something into it. I don't think it's an impossible. I think that's a very actual, real thing.
Oh. That would be really lovely. I have to do the last two questions.
All right, last two questions.
What's your favorite vertical you've produced so far? If I would ask you, Danny, what vertical of yours I should definitely have seen, what would you advise me?
I don't produce them, I direct them. But the last vertical that my favorite vertical that I've directed.
Yeah, sorry for that. Yeah, okay, I swapped it up.
Because they're two different jobs, and I don't want
to. Yeah, exactly. I learned this, but I forgot. Sorry.
That's okay. I don't know. It's fine. The one that I really enjoy making that people really also like was, I mean, I love Cheer Up Baby. Cheer Up Baby is
platform
drama box.
Okay.
Very cute, very sweet. If you want very cute and very sweet, Cheer Up Baby is great. If you want a slow burn that's just going to get you all hot and bothered. mistaken surrogate for the ruthless billionaire on Good Short, really, really good.
Who was the lead in it?
Rob Palmer Watkins.
Yeah. You directed that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Produced by Shen Li and Ideally Projects. Yeah.
Oh, that was really good.
That was a good one. I really, really. There's an intense medical drama one that I did. With Brittany Marczyk, produced by Astra Filmworks for Good Short, called "Smile, My Cheating Husband, You're on Camera." That was really cool. That was
Was it with
Evan Fonts?
Female lead. Blonde.
Brittany Marczyk.
Yeah, I cannot pronounce the second name.
Okay. Yeah, that was really. I like that. That one was really, really, really great. The three that I just did that I'm really excited about: Bad Boys Tutor, Till Divorce Do Us Part. Those are going to be on Drama Pops. Back Off the Prince's Mind is also on Drama Pops.
Oh, that was really great. I love this one.
You like Back Off the Prince's Mind?
With Ashley and Molly. Yeah. That was so good. And Molly was such a great villain in it.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved her. I loved her as the villain.
She's a great main girl to Robert Palmer Watkins for Triple Life on Drama Pops also. I did that one also in the
You
same
did one movie. Also? Really? That's shitty. No one ever you don't ever get as an audience the credits who produced it. You even don't get the credit sometimes on the actors if you don't know them.
It's really all on my website. But it's harder to if you go to sirdannyfarber.com, not only can you find my music, you can also find my movies, and soon you'll be able to find my merch. Trying to figure that one out.
That's good. Last question, Danny. What genre you want to see more in the vertical world?
What genre?
Yes.
Buddy comedies.
I spoke with Adam Chisnell. We want to have some parodies on verticals.
Yeah, every vertical set I've ever been on is like, we need to do a vertical parody. We should. That'd be great. It'd be a lot of fun.
The kind of, stand right there, I want to slap you now.
Yeah. And then it's the thing of, slap. Who slapped me?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Stuff like that. And I want to have a Western one.
I would love to do Western one.
With the saloons and the sheriff and so the kind of old Western. That makes raping and kidnapping totally sense.
Okay, fair. Valid. I mean, time and a place, and I guess the Westerns was that time and that place.
That would be so lovely. Horse riding and old saloon stuff style and sheriff one.
Would be really, really cool. I was on a very big Western TV show as an actor, and I'd love to do that as a director.
So you know a good location to film it?
For these rates and this budget,
nope.
Figure that one out, but yeah,
okay,
definitely.
Okay, so I have to search for a good location.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally the easiest way. I win the 100 million euro lottery, I think.
I love that. I think it's a great idea for all of us.
Yeah.
Michela Bergman.
Forgot it. No, you know, it would be so great for my criminal vertical series.
Would be a ton of fun. Let me know when that happens. I can be available.
Okay, I will. And now you're the first I want. No, I have to call Kirby first. I promised her. Sorry.
Fair. I have to text Kirby back, actually. It's really funny you say that.
Yeah, then write her a message. Only I'm in on your criminal series as the villain.
I am in on your criminal series.
With Michaela, then she knows what exactly.
Lead villain and director. If anybody wants to find my stuff, it's on SirDannyFarber.com.
Yeah, I'll put that in the show notes of the episode.
SirDannyFarber at Instagram.
Everywhere. We will find
everywhere.
You. Thank you very much.
DannyFarberWorks@gmail.com if you have any business inquiries and you want to reach out.
Or booking inquiries for singing.
All works out.
Thank you, Danny. Have a beautiful
day. Thank you very, very much.
Day. And I sure will stay in contact.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.